This is a Collider.com audio interview.
You are going to be asked a ton of questions today, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot about your career, Man of Steel, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to ask you the most important question first, your most powerful performance as the WrestleMania fan in Groundhog Day.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Cool.
So,
yes.
Talking a little bit about how did you get into the mindset of being such a WrestleMania fan?
You know, it was all a big lie because I don't enjoy wrestling. I've never enjoyed wrestling. I've always thought it was fairly idiotic. And the fact that everyone knows it's fake and they watch it anyway, I find almost kind of disturbing. However, I think a lot of the excitement captured in my line reading of WrestleMania was the fact that I was standing in front of Bill Murray and Andy McDowell, and I was like 18 years old. So I think I could have said eggplant or vehicular manslaughter with the same passion as WrestleMania. It really, the word itself was irrelevant.
I was going to say, that was a huge, I love that movie, by the way, like
yeah.
Sincerely love.
Me too.
That is also like, it's one of those timeless films that has really, it's, whenever it's on, I'm stuck watching.
Yeah.
It pulls me in.
Yeah.
You know?
Centrifugal force. Yeah. Yeah, the moral of the story of that movie is something that everybody knows and yet it's so easy to forget. And it's good to be reminded of it, you know.
Jumping into another subject, you've been working for a long time, but over the last, say, I would say 5 to 6 years, you've really landed a lot more high-profile projects, and in turn, I would imagine that leads to maybe losing a little bit of your anonymity when going around.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sort of like, how is that for you coming, like, you know, because obviously you want to be an actor, and I mean, it's sort of the price, I guess, you pay for being in bigger films. How has that transition sort of been for you?
Well, I haven't considered moving to Montana yet. I mean, if that's... It seems to be the move at some point. You just go to Montana and get away from everybody. But I don't know. I it depends on the day and the time and when it happens and who it is and how they approach me, you know. Most people are very polite and respectful. Some people aren't. But, you know, it's like, I find it fascinating because once the initial like recognition thing happens, there's really not anything to talk about. It's like, hey, I know you. I'm like, yeah, you do. Okay, bye. I mean, it's not like, what are we going to talk about? You know, fishing? I don't know. It's a very odd sensation. So now I've gotten to a point where I used to stop, like I would stop walking and like look at them, and now I just keep walking. I'm like, yes, you know, yes, okay, bye bye, and keep walking, because there's not really anything to talk about.
I've also heard from actor friends, the key is to keep on walking, because once you stop, it's over.
Yeah, they try and establish a relationship, and it's based on nothing.
Jumping into you, I've told you, I interviewed you at TIFF a few years ago, and I've said this repeatedly, I'm a huge fan of your work,
thank you.
I think you're a really, really gifted actor.
Oh, thank you.
I'm very curious about how you prepare for roles. Many actors I've spoken with, the second they get a script, they are breaking it down and analyzing how they're going to play it. And other actors I've spoken with, they break down the script, but they tend to do most of their work very close to when it's going to shoot, so it's freshest in their brain.
Yeah.
How are you in terms of preparing for roles?
Yeah, I'm not obsessive about it. I find a lot of inspiration on the set, around me as I'm shooting the scene. And I think I use my subconscious a lot. This whole notion that if you're playing a character, you're supposed to know exactly what they're doing all the time, I find erroneous, because like most of the time I don't know what I'm doing, or I don't even know what I'm trying to do. I'm just like fumbling around. Like most people are fumbling around, let's face it. So to me, I like to be surprised by what's happening. I think the main skill or talent that you need to have is the ability to like pay attention and listen to what's happening around you. Not so much fabricate your own inner atmosphere, panoply or whatever, but be present and aware of what's going on around you. So that's usually how I do it. I mean, if I'm playing a real person like this instance, I do put a lot into trying to honor that, capture that person, knowing that I will never be exactly like them, but I do the best I can.
Well, I'm definitely curious with Iceman. You are playing a real person, but you're basically, there's always the balance of Hollywoodizing a subject matter versus also telling the real story. And I'm curious about how you guys found the right line in terms of, you know, this is a true story, but we're also making a movie. You know what I mean?
Oh, well, this is very much we're making a movie. I mean, because the fact of the matter is the movie's like 90 minutes long or even less than, and the man lived for several decades. So that's the math is against you. I mean, it's not going to fit. You know, you have to, with biopics, it's not enough to just say, I'm going to tell this person's life story. You have to have kind of a thesis. You have to pick an element of the person's life and think, this is what I want to present, or this is what I want people to ponder or regard, you know. And so we focused very much on the idea of the duality of the character, the double life. And in a way, it's almost kind of like a fable more than anything, because for me anyway, because I don't think this movie will make anybody an expert on Richard Kuklinski if they watch it, but what it might do is make them consider the fact that there are a lot of people in the world that do things to make money that hurt other people, and then they come home and they have a family that they love, and they eat dinner with their family, and they tuck their kids in and say, I love you. They say their prayers and go to sleep. And yet when they go out during the day to do whatever it is they make money, it's, you know, it's hard to find things to do in the world right now to make money where you're not having some negative effect on somebody somewhere. You know what I mean? Like if you're working at a hedge fund, buying up failing companies and, you know, forcing people out of work and shutting things down, or, you know, there's a lot of people making money on the misfortune of others. So I thought, well, this is a very exaggerated version of that. It was one of the reasons I found it interesting.
When was the last time you had to audition for a role?
Oh, I auditioned. I auditioned. Everybody always asks me if I was going to do a romantic comedy, and I always say, well, I auditioned for a real big one, and I didn't get it. So, that was, a couple years ago.
So is it nice to sort of be in a place now? Because you've been working for a very long time to try to get the better role. Yeah. You know, is it nice now to have directors offering you these roles?
It's pretty cool, but, you know, there's still like, I mean, there's a project right now that I really, really want to do. And I met with the director. I'm not saying any names because it would be bad. But I met with the director and he's like, yeah, you know, I just think you're the bee's knees. And I'm like, oh, I think you're swell too. And we talked for an hour or so. And then a couple weeks later, like, oh, they're trying to get, you know, Brad Pitt or something. It's like, no matter, you know, how much action you got going on, there's still someone standing on your shoulders.
Well, I was going to say, I think that your position with Middle America might be different come the end of June.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but it's interesting because, like, I mean, I think the fellow is really going to come out nice in that situation is Henry, because he's going to be Superman.
I got to tell you, man, being completely serious, I've said this, I've been screaming about it since I saw the full trailer. It's my absolute most anticipated film of the summer. There is nothing more important than me seeing that film. obviously, I know you can't talk about the story, and I don't want to get you in trouble for anything, but now that they've released what you look like, and what you sound like, and the fact that there is no kryptonite in the movie, and a lot more information has sort of funneled out, I can ask you a more specific question.
Yeah.
What was it like wearing that outfit? Because it looks badass.
Are you referring to the armor?
Yes.
I never wore the armor.
So that's all CG?
That is a CG outfit. I think I can say that without getting assassinated. Yes. I mean, honestly, the armor would be very heavy. Like in Iron Man, they don't. Downey Jr. doesn't ever wear iron. Well, oh, but there is a guy who wears an. I know the guy. The guy who was the Iron Man double who had to wear that freaking suit was on Man of Steel. And he said it was a freaking nightmare. Like, it's so freaking heavy. And it's like, they wanted me to have freedom of movement. And, you know, if I would have actually been wearing a giant metal suit, I would have been walking around like this, you know. So yeah, every time you see me in that metal suit, just close your eyes and imagine me in, like, a Harlequino outfit. Green, red, blue, with the, you know, little tight around the midsection. Yeah, we all look like a bunch of dorks.
One of the things that Zach recently said, and which excites me and I think fandom to no end, is that there is no kryptonite in the movie. Because I think that's been a crux that they've relied on in every fucking movie, and it's just stupid. Like, let's make it so he's dealing with real shit. Like, he's afraid because he's afraid, or, you know, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Was that one of, when you found out that there was no kryptonite, was that something that you're like, that's really cool?
Well, yeah, I thought the whole script was just very sophisticated for the genre that it is, you know. It was as sophisticated as the scripts from other movies that I've done that have been considered more, you know, highfalutin or whatever. It has a lot of, and the way they, it has a lot of deep themes in the way they deal with Kal-El's journey is really fascinating.
Switching subjects completely, I'm also incredibly excited. I really enjoyed Jake Paltrow's Good Night.
Oh, I never saw that.
I really dug it a lot, I know that you're doing Young Ones, or have wrapped, or filming, or...
Yeah.
I don't know much about the project. Can you talk about what appealed to you about the project, who you play? I know it's sci-fi.
It's about, you know, it's about the inevitable water shortage that will be happening, or has already started to happen. But it's set in the future a little bit, and... Yeah, there's not much water left, and I play a guy who was a farmer, and his land is completely obliterated by drought, and he's trying to take care of his family, and it's kind of got a Steinbeckian vibe to it a little bit. We shot it down in Africa, and I think Jake's super smart. I think he's really excited. He reminds me of Jeff Nichols, who's my favorite dude. We got a new movie coming out, Mud.
Oh, yeah. Sir, it is on my list of things to
April
address.
April 27th, yeah.
Exactly. What is it like for you? Because you have Mud, you have this, you have Manus, you have like a lot of stuff coming out. Are you sort of enjoying or getting ready to enjoy the promotional process, or are you like, fuck?
I don't mind it. I mean, you're always concerned that about being interesting in these situations. I mean, this is more talking than I ever really do on a normal day. It's kind of like when you have those pedometers, you know, that measure your steps. This would be a high step count for me. So you just worry that, like, is anything I'm saying going to be interesting to anyone? But other than that, it's fine.
I got to tell you, I think the answer is... I think the answer is yes, because of a lot of people dig your work. But my last question for you.
Yeah.
You have a number of projects coming up, and I would imagine you're thinking about a number of projects in the future. Mm. What is 2013 looking like in terms of what you might be doing or thinking about doing?
That's this year, right?
It is this year. Or even next year.
Well, I'm doing Boardwalk Season 4 right now. I think me and Nichols are heating up our fourth collaboration to happen in the winter, I believe. I think I'm going to do a film in Chicago this fall. But there's a lot, I think my agent's kind of like, let's wait and see what happens after, you know, Man of Steel comes out. You know, I guess it's kind of, like you said, going to be some sort of seminal experience.
Yeah.
I hope so. Knock on wood. Jesus, what if nobody goes? There's no guarantees.
I'm going to tell you now, and I wanted this to be on record.
Yeah.
It's going to make $1 billion.
A billion?
Worldwide.
Fucking.
You have no idea, dude. I'm telling you, it's the number one thing on my website. We have at least five readers, and all five click on that article whenever I put up Man of Steel.
Wow.
You have no idea what's coming.